Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How are you guys doing today? I'm doing okay. Maybe a little nervous, but it'll be all right. I know my family might be nervous, but don't hold it against them. And I promise not to embarrass them too much. What is prayer? That's a tough question. At least I think it's a tough question. It's something that I've struggled with to find an answer to for a long time. And as I was preparing to come and talk to you guys today and looking at the prayer sermon that I'm supposed to give or try to give or try to figure out what I'm even doing, I thought back to a lot of sermons and Bible studies that I heard during my time here at St. Luke's. And I read and I reread and I reread and I reread and I reread the Bible to try to find an answer. And you know what? I think I found an answer. This is prayer. Have a good day. My dad told me to keep it under 12 minutes, so I figured, you know, two will be good. But if that's the answer, I struggle to find moments like this. Because when I see this picture, what I see is complete silence. Silence. It's not silent. And I see a man, his food, his Bible, and his prayer in a conversation with an almighty and all-powerful God. An amazing, humble moment. But I have four kids, and as you can see, kids aren't quiet, and I'm sure most of you know that. And not just that, they're always running and screaming and yelling and throwing balls, and I have three boys, so fighting and kicking and scratching and clawing. And my wife's not here, so honey, do the trash, honey, take out the diapers, honey, do this, honey, do that. I'm sure some of you can relate. So there's never a moment of silence. There's always noise and always movement and sound. So if this is prayer in silence, shutting out all things and at all times, when do I pray? How do I pray? So I went back to the Bible, and as I was going through again, I found a verse in Romans chapter 12. And in Romans chapter 12, Paul says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." Now I'm in big trouble because I can't even find a time to have like this, man. And if that's prayer, when am I constant in it? Now I'm in kind of a situation. But I think what Paul's showing us is that we have a misunderstanding of what prayer is. Not that we don't pray, but that we don't understand prayer. Because if this is what we think prayer is, we can't be constant in it. We have activities and things to do. But Paul shows us that prayer is praise. Prayer is worship. Prayer is dependence on God. Prayer is every breath that we take, every struggle that we're in, every service to our neighbor, every joy with our friends and our family. Maybe with the understanding Paul gives us, we can see that prayer is our daily life. So I got to tell you a story. Picture this with me. Bear with me. I know. Pastors and their stories. Picture a man, and he's walking to work alone in the quiet. Well, not too quiet because it's pouring. Not the Seattle drizzle or the Oregon mist. No. It's the grab a boat and an oar and jump in the canoe because the flood's about to come. And as he's walking, he remembers that he forgot his umbrella. So he's walking, he's like, oh, I don't have my umbrella. All I got is this coat. It's a waterproof coat, so I'll be okay, no big deal. He keeps walking, and the wind's stinging him and hitting him in the face with the rain. And he starts to drift to the weekend. It's Friday. We all do it when we go to work. Don't try to kid yourself. You always think about the plans for the weekend and church and friends and games and the loved ones, hopefully. That's what I try to think about, but most of the time it's about the games. She's not here, so it's okay. But as he's doing that, his mind snaps back because he feels a cold, wet chill. He looks down and realizes his coat is done perfect. He's dry and warm inside his coat, but his pant leg gets wet. and it's up to about his mid-calf. Man, it's like, oh, my pants are wet. It'll be okay. I got 8 hours of work before I go home. It'll dry. It'll dry. No big deal. So he goes back to his thoughts. A little bit farther, he snaps back out of his daydream, and he looks down again, and now the rain has soaked him up to his knees. Uh-oh. That's a little too high for comfort. I mean, we're in trouble now. But the door's right there. He can see it. So he's not going to turn around. He's got to push on and move on. So he steps forward and he opens the door, steps in the foyer, and he gets a cold blast of air. And something doesn't feel quite right. And just as he starts to look down at his pants to see how far up the water has come this time from the rain soaking them, the woman from two cubicles down steps up to him and says, "I like your armor." "Armor? I'm at work. I got dress slacks on or khaki pants on and a shirt. What armor is she talking about?" And she goes, "But I think it's called Under Armour because it's supposed to be under your clothes and not visible." And the man is shocked, and he looks down and realizes that where there was a khaki material, his pants are see-through. Standing in the foyer of his work, mortified, his pants can be seen through. He covers himself up and runs through the hallway and dives and ducks and slinks and slides, jumps in his chair and dives under his desk. And he sits there in silence, embarrassed about what just happened. And he listens to the noises of the office and the weekend plans of his neighbors and his coworkers. And as he sits there, he's not angry. He's not fuming mad and upset. He prays. Prayer? In that time, in that place, in that moment, in a moment of his embarrassment when his coworker saw him with see-through pants, he prays. He says, "God, thank you that I can feel the water squishing in my shoes. Thank you for the desk that I have to hide my embarrassment. Thank you for the vocation that I am in that provides for my family, for the life and the gifts that you've given me. But please, maybe turn the air conditioning down because I'm getting a little cold up here." And just at that moment, the same lady walks up with a cup of coffee, sets it on his desk, smiles, and walks away because she knows he's not going to go get it. But maybe there'll be a little warmth from that coffee. So I tell you this story. One, well, it might be true. It is true. But two, because I think that's what Paul is trying to say is by being constant in prayer. Paul says pray in all times, at all situations, in all places. Not just when we get a moment, but in any place, in any time, in any way, about anything. You can pray for the sick. We can pray for the dying, the mourning. We can pray for the needy, for the poor. We can pray for grades at school. Please pray for me at seminary. We can pray for our family and our friends and our coworkers and our loved ones and sports games. I did, and they still threw the football. At any time and in any place, anywhere. In traffic, at the checkout line at Sam's Club or Costco or Safeway. Anywhere, at any time, in any place. Prayer should and can be an interwoven part of our life. So if I pray, the next question then is, do I get what I pray for? Well, that's where we have to go back and look and say that in the text, Paul does not say that when we pray, we get exactly what we want when we want it. That's how I like to think about it, and I know most of us would love it if it happened that way. But it rarely, if ever, does. God answers prayers according to his will. He promises to hear them, and he promises to answer them, but they may not be how I want them answered. I was in Afghanistan 7 years ago, 2010. 115 degree heat. It's hot, and that doesn't include humidity, with 100 pounds of weight on my back. Trust me, I was praying a lot for rain. for cool weather, for anything to relieve me from the heat and the pressure of the dust and the dirt that was caked all over my body. It never rained. Not once. 115, 125, 195. It was hot. It never rained. I'm still waiting for that rain in Afghanistan to come, and it won't. On my way there, while I was here, and while I was there in Afghanistan, I also prayed and said, God, protect me, keep me safe, keep me healthy, keep me uninjured, and return me to my family. I wasn't the only one that prayed for that. My family prayed, my wife prayed, St. Luke's prayed. August 4th, 2010, an IED blast. I was injured. I had surgery the very next day. I wasn't sure at that moment what my life would be. But as I laid in that bed, unable to move, unable to care for myself, unable to get up, barely breathing, I looked up selfishly at my suffering and said, God, why did you not answer my prayer and my family's prayers and the church's prayers? Selfishly, I wanted him to answer the prayer according to my time frame and how I wanted it answered. But Paul tells us in Romans that when we don't know what to pray for, or we don't pray maybe according to God's will, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. And he prays for us. When I don't know what to do or how to do it, God has sent his Spirit to us to intercede for us. And yes, there may be struggles and trials like that one that I was in where I didn't know where the answer to God's prayer was in that moment and in the months to come. But me standing before you today is the answer to that prayer. Because I would not be standing here if God would have answered that prayer according to my will. I would not be here. I may be anywhere else. I would be anywhere else. But not here unless it was according to God's will. So how do I live and pray according to God's will? That's a difficult question that you're going to have to ask Pastor Dan or Pastor Vic. But I'll try to maybe unpack it a little bit. How do we live according to God's will? I believe that to do that, we have to pray. We're driven to prayer. It's our duty to pray, to ask God to help us live how he wants us to live. If we go back to our reading from today, Paul says, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. That's a tough list of things to do. And I think I'm wise in my own sight, so that one's really hard. So how do I do that? By praying and asking God to give me his grace and his mercy daily to live according to his will. God promises to answer and fulfill all of the promises that he's given us. We have to look no further than the baptismal font right here to see where we're brought to death and raised up again in him. To be his children. The Lord's Supper, forgiveness given to you, Christ's body and blood for you. The cross, the death, the resurrection, the birth of a Savior, the fulfillment of promises. Be constant in prayer. Live according to God's will. Christ was and is the perfect example of those verses. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. He was the epitome of it. And if I'm called to be more Christ-like, I pray those words because that's God's will for me, to live how Christ lived. It's difficult. It's tough. So I take you back to the picture of the man at the praying. This is prayer. It is prayer. But if that's the only time and the only way that we pray in a moment, shutting out all noises and in complete silence, how often do we pray? How often do you pray? How often do I pray? If it's simple and silent all the time. That is amazing, and we need to do that to set aside time for God to go to Him. But that can't be the only time. We have to look no further than Christ as He was going to be put to death on the cross. They were in the Garden of Gethsemane before He was arrested. He paused and He said, "Father, not your will, not my will, but yours be done." He took time. He knew where He was going, yet He still stopped and prayed. At any time and at any place, in a garden He prayed, that God's will be done. And then we go even further, a step further. As He was beaten and battered, bruised and bloodied, with a crown of thorns slammed into His head and blood pouring down His face, what did Christ do? He prayed. He was hung on a cross, dying. And He didn't make an excuse. He didn't do like me where I said, "No, I got to worry about myself." No. He looked down at the people at the foot of the cross, at the people who had tortured Him, at the people who had beat Him and abused Him and put Him to death. And He looked at His mother and His friends. And He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Not just them, but for all the sins of everyone across all time. As He hung on the cross, He prayed for them, for your sins and for mine. He looked down, knowing what He was doing as He was up on the cross. "Father, forgive them. Forgive them." He prayed. Yet I'm too busy. I got school and work and wife and kids and family and social media requests and this and that. He was dying. If that's my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer, and He can do it while He's dying, who am I to not do it constantly at every moment and in any place? Christ loves you. God loves you. He longs for you to pray to Him, just to speak to Him. He invites you to do it. He already promised that He was going to answer and fulfill the promise. There's the promise. It's a cross. Christ died and rose again for you and for me. And He loves you, and He wants you to speak to Him at any time and at any place, in any struggle and in any trial. We don't need to wait and shut out and get all the silence and problems and people out of the way. No, pray in that moment. It can be, as Pastor Dan said in the Chosen Message, hands folded, straight up, arms up, bended knee, in a car, in work, in a pew, anywhere. So I ask you, and I ask myself this actually every day, will you be constant in prayer today? Will you pray at any moment and at any time about anything? I ask myself this question every morning when I get up. And I do call myself in the third person. Josh, will you be constant in prayer today? Will you give your Father what He wants? Will you accept the invitation that He has and say, "God, I love You. I know You. You've given me everything that I need." So I ask you, will you be constant in prayer? Will you ask yourself daily to be constant in all times and in all places and in all things, regardless of the situation? Because that's what we're called to do, and that's what we should be driven to do by the love and grace of our Father and our Savior, our Redeemer. So please rise and join with me as I pray for all of us to live and to pray according to God's will. Lord God, Heavenly Father, our Creator, we all want to live according to your will and to pray according to your will. Yet we know that apart from you, we are unable to live how you have called us to live. So, Father, today I pray that you humble all of us and let us love genuinely, that we abhor evil and desperately hold fast to what is good, that you help and show us how to love one another with brotherly affection, that we show honor in our daily interactions, not only with other people, but that we show honor to you in what we do. Help us, I beg you, to let us not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit, so that we may fully serve you as you have called us to do. Let us rejoice in the hope that is the promised return of Christ, that we remain patient in tribulation and suffering in this world, but that we remain constant in prayer as you have asked us to do. Guide us to live peaceably with all according to your will. Father, we know that you hear all these requests and the hundreds of others that are in our hearts and our minds. And as we stand here together, help us to pick up our cross daily, follow the example of your Son, be constant in prayer, and live in the grace and the gift of life that you have given us. Thank you for the ability to know you, for your trustworthiness, and the life that you give us in your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.